You're listening to Love and Light with Dr. Lisa, Everyday Living in Peace. Day-to-day living can be difficult in our world today, and most people don't know how to live a peaceful, joy-filled existence. The key to this is simple: love. Join me, Dr. Lisa Collins, for the next hour as I unpack and identify the need for a peaceful, love-filled existence by engaging the challenging and hard topics of life. On this show, you will lean into the healing practices that enlarge your spiritual reality through the act of love. This kind of love begins with yourself and your neighbor and transcends age, race, sex, generation, class, and sexual identity. The world changes when we root ourselves in love. Love and Light with Dr. Lisa starts now.
Welcome. Hi, everyone. I'm Dr. Lisa, and you are listening to Love and Light, Living Every Day in Peace on Transformation Talk Radio. Stay with us for the next hour and let us help you experience how to bring more love into your everyday life. We're here every second and fourth Wednesday, 1 p.m. Standard, 12 Mountain, 4 Eastern, and we have tools for living every day in peace. Today, we're going to talk about education. Education has been turned upside down in the last 2 years. Education communities have suffered from the change of the game plan. It's not as it was before. Educators, students, and families have all had to chart a new course to provide educational services to all children. Well, we know that the educational system before the pandemic contained systems that did not work for all who needed to be served. Many of us are committed to the educational well-being of all children, and it is my great joy to welcome Sheila Smith Anderson, a 49-year educational professional who centers passion and love for the greatest commodity, and we agree on this, our nation's children, by leading with courage and conviction toward an equitable system for all. Welcome, Sheila, to Love and Life.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be here, and I'm also honored to be here today.
Oh, thank you so much. Watching you work has been really refreshing and healing for me, because I've seen you have tough conversations, but you always come with love and light. Even in the most pointed, thing that you are saying is always done so, I think in dominant systems, they would say professionally, but I'm just going to say with love and light, and still pushing forward the conversation that needs to be had to serve all. So tell us a little bit about yourself. So I'm very honored that you are here, in your journey and your passion and your realism. Like, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, well, hello to Dr. Lisa's audience, first of all, and congratulations on your book. I feel like I should be interviewing you about the release of your new book. So everybody that's listening or will be listening, let's just give a shout out and a hooray and a clap your hands and congratulations to the release of your new book. I'm excited to read that because healing is every day. Every day we're living in a world, and as the world plays out in front of us, we see every day people are at each other's throats. We just don't want to live in peace. We want what the neighbor has. We want what the dog has, the cat has. We want everything. We're not satisfied with being who we are. And so let me first of all say, I am satisfied with Sheila. I am satisfied in my skin. I am satisfied with everything I have. I like everything about me, Dr. Lisa. I like my skin color. I like the gap that I have. I like my skinny ankles. I like all of me. I love all of me.
I love it. I love it.
So that's who I am. I'm a person that gets up every morning. I don't care what happened, what dirt came on me the day before, what junk came my way, what kind of balls hit me upside my head, the balls that I ducked and I dodged, and some of them hit me in the forehead. But that's all right. I got up. When I get up that next morning and I made it another day, I said, here we go. Let's go. Let's go. Whatever you got to throw at me, I'm ready for it. So that's who I am. I'm a person who always knew they wanted to be in education. Always did. I always wanted to be a teacher. I always did. from the time I was a little girl. I'm probably one of a gazillion people who have the same story, how they turned their dresser around and had kids out in front of them, and they taught them with the ABCs on the using chalk on the back of the dresser. I'm always still the woman in the grocery store who sees kids doing this, and I go over and they say, "Oh, you must be a teacher." So I'm still that person. I carry it with me all the time. I am the teacher. The teacher in me never stops. I'm still that person driving down a city street, and I see a mother on a cell phone and the kid that she's supposed to be watching about 20 steps behind her that pulls over and said, "Hey, you got a kid behind you. I think you're kind of lost." So I'm still that person. I'm that person that's going to always stand. I'm always going to say, because that's the teacher in me. And you know what you said as Fire Nation's children. So I've been a teacher all my life. I started, I think, about age 4. And I'm still teaching. I'm still teaching every day. So I'll carry it with me until I die. I teach wherever I am, no matter organizations that I belong to. I want to be the educator. I want to be the leader that brings structure to everything that we do. You know, this is love and light. And why can't we love each other? Why can't we look at each other and it's okay? It's okay that we don't have the same skin color. We don't have the same hair texture. We don't have the same eyebrow shape. We don't have the same lip shape, but there's beauty in everything that we have. And until we look at the beauty of that, you know, a friend said to me yesterday that she wanted to go to Florida and take a little jaunt across and go to the Bahamas. And she just felt it would lift her spirits. And I said, "Well, do me a favor, go outside and look up at the sky. That sky that's up there is the same sky that you're going to see when you get to Florida. Those same clouds that are same clouds. Go find some water near you. Go to a lake, a pond, that same water coming from the sky, same water. Rejoice and be happy in that today." Mm-hmm. And I think that finding that today happiness, finding that today pleasure, and seek contentment, be happy for who you are, for what you have. Even my aches and pains, I rejoice for the aches and pains, because Lord knows if I get up and I don't feel that pain in my knee when I get up, I say, "Oh Lord, is my knee gone numb?" So I'm going to rejoice if there's pain. So that's a little
story. Amen. Amen. Well, that is a bundle of love right there. It's a bundle of love and light. Being able to love who you are, and that, you know, that brings me to education today. You know, we aren't serving everyone, and we know that when I'm going to center Black children, because I'm a Black woman, Black children go to school as young as pre-K, and they get the idea and the feeling that they don't belong.
Yeah. You know, you said that the last 2 years education has been turned upside down. Not only has education been turned upside down the last 2 years, but the covers have been pulled off even more. So all the things that we were hiding under those covers have been revealed in ways that we should be ashamed. And, you know, it's kind of like Jonathan Coulson talked about the shame of the nation. You know, we should be ashamed of some of the things that we're hiding under those covers. Mm-hmm. You know, so it did not come to any great surprise that there was a digital divide. They've been writing about the digital divide since the digital world came in. It was divided then. We've done nothing to mediate that in all of these years. And then boom, the pandemic comes and all of a sudden, oh, some of our neighborhoods are not equipped. You know, you know, and I won't say who the commercial is, but there's a commercial that comes on TV about their 5G and their fiber optics and how they have great speed. And I said, "That's not the truth. You only have great speed in some places, in some areas. That is not true. Do not say that anymore." Because in cities all over this country, even though they were giving devices to hook up to where? There was no place to hook them to. You're going to go outside the church or outside the Walmart and get on their free Wi-Fi? You know, they hook them to what? So you didn't even have the bandwidth except in certain neighborhoods. So we knew about the digital divide before. Not only did we know about the digital divide, we also even knew in schools that if we did have computers or laptops, it was only given as a reward. You can get on the computer if you've been good. And Lord knows if you've got 3 strikes, 5 stars, and whatever else carrots we use for discipline of saying that you got to get all this stuff, that's what they take away from you. You know, as I walk in classrooms and I see some kids now on the computer, they go like, oh, well, they didn't follow the rules, so they're in timeout against us. Well, do you take books away too? What do you do with the books? Do you put them on the shelf? If they misbehave, do you take the pencil away? Do you take the composition tablet away? Do they not get to use the calculator? If they talk out too loud, or they get 3 strikes on the board, or they get their whatever they get taken away, and stars and clips and paper clips and whatever it is else we do to make the Pavlov dog say, hey, act like you're supposed to act the way I want you to act. Say when you want to say it. Talk when I say talk. Talk if you raise your hand. And I don't know about you, Lisa, but I've never been in my house where I had to raise my hand to talk. That is not how we have conversations. That's not how we have dialogue. But in schools, we want to teach them don't. No, and you can be raising your hand all day long. Your hand will get heavy because sometimes the teacher just doesn't want to hear what you've got to say because they've already read your mind and they know what they want to say. So there were so many things that were uncovered during this time. And then we're trying to mediate that. And then also uncovered were the teaching practices.
Absolutely.
That was even more revealing. Now you've got to go to an audience to where you are live every day teaching. And so that teaching where you have to read this and then answer that and read this and answer that and we're finished with the lesson had to change because you had to do it in a different way. So it examined our teaching practices. And good teachers and great teachers were doing that and saying, oh, I've got to do this in a different kind of way. And it made us retool and rethink even how we even taught. It made many teachers better. And for some teachers, they still suffered. So our children, unfortunately, they've been the recipients of poor practices for so many years. And that's why sometimes when we look at the gaps that we have, the gap that started in third grade is a gulf in eighth grade. Mm-hmm. The treatment that we're using does not remedy it. If we were going to a doctor for the same ailment for 7 years, we'd have to be crazy to stay with that doctor, wouldn't we?
Absolutely.
So it really does. Yeah, it makes you really think about what are we doing? What are we really doing? What's really going on right now that we don't take ownership of what I'm doing within a school with a child and their gap grows under my watch?
That's rough.
That's devastating. That's rough.
And I'm going to tell you, it broke my heart when I saw children not being taught, the same children not being taught. And there's something, I've been an educator for a long time and I love teaching. And I teach today, I love teaching, just like you do. And something about the marginalization and invisibilization of people is so heartbreaking. But you are so right that the covers got pulled off. And there was an educator here in Portland who would say, that's your ugly baby. You need to pick it up and love it because it's yours. And what I see instead is this kind of like hands off and looking the other way. And we can't look the other way anymore. I think probably people who are listening do not realize some of the things that you're mentioning, that people did not have internet, that some people did not have electronics to hook up. And when they went to get the internet, they were told, well, we need so much money. And then they said, well, we're the school district. We're going to make sure that everyone has internet. But you need to pay us this much money a month. So all of these systemic oppression continued to play out through COVID.
Absolutely.
And when you see students getting reprimanded and written up on Zoom,
yeah,
he gets up too much. He doesn't sit down in his seat. I've seen some of these referrals. It's like, and yeah. No one questions.
Yeah.
So that is why you are so valuable, because not only do you illuminate, but you do it with love and kindness. You do it with love and kindness. I don't see that regularly. Yeah. I don't know if you can clone yourself, but that, I'm sorry. It's time for a break. Wow, that was okay. Stay with us. We'll be right back. And it's time for a break. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Amber, your weekly host of the Heart Leader Podcast, where heart and mind align on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I'm here with co-host Austin, and we'd like to know, do you have a passion to make a greater global impact? Are you ready to embrace leading with heart and love? If so, join us and our global community of over 1 million strong on this journey to become heart leaders who change the world. Each episode brings heart-centered connection, building stronger relationships, communities, and businesses. Take a deeper dive into what it means to be a heart leader. For more information, visit www.suivera.org. We look forward to seeing you in the Suivera community.
Tune into the Dr. Diane Show, where we explore revolutionary expansion of mind, body, and soul every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I bring over 20 years of expertise as a mindset warrior, perspective shifter, and unshakable optimist dedicated to helping you reach your wildest dreams in business, health, performance, and relationships. Join the discussion on the show. Learn more about me, Dr. Diane, and receive a free digital copy of my magazine at naturalnutmeg.com.
Are you ready for the real results you want? Don't miss the new show. Why wait? Look better, feel better, be your best from the inside out with me, Georgette LePage. Join Dr. Pat Basile and me monthly to tackle topics that are often seen as roadblocks to weight loss. Each discussion offers you practical solutions for your transformational changes. Find out more about show dates and times or connect with me directly at georgettelepage.com.
Not just talk, conversation for profound self-awareness. Stick with us. Your best life awaits on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
We are back on Love and Light, Living Every Day in Peace, and my guest, Sheila Smith Anderson, a 49-year educational professional who centers passion, love for our greatest commodity, our children. Sheila, if people wanted to know more about you, where could they contact you? Where could our listeners look for you?
Well, I just have a Facebook page right now, so you can find me on Sheila Smith Anderson on Facebook. I am on Twitter, but I'm under All Praise is my Twitter handle.
Oh, so nice.
All Praise Report. And the reason I chose that is because of exactly what you're saying. I get tired of doom and gloom. There is a way, and thank you for the compliment of saying that I push people, I hope with love and more with grace, because mm-hmm. people don't know what they don't know. And when you don't know what you don't know, and you're trying to help people move along a continuum, you have to do it with grace and love. And so to berate people does not work, because it's a downshift of the mind. The mind mm-hmm. is the brain, more than anything we know now, it is made to protect us. And if I mm-hmm. feel like I'm being confronted in any way, I'm going to downshift. So mm-hmm. that is why I do what I do in the way, but I am relentless in doing it. And I will just ask for guidance to find another way. Give me another door. Give me a window. Mm-hmm. Give me a little, just to open it up a little bit. If I get a crack, I'm coming through. And so with that said, I chose All Praise Report because I want to just hear about the praise. I just want to hear about the good things and how we can promote that. For some reason, we are just enthralled and excited about when bad things happen, when negative things happen, when mm-hmm. ugly things happen. You know, as I said, we can want everything someplace else when we don't even look at what we do have and be thankful for the goodness all around us. You know, looking right now in the spring and the flowers coming up, everything turning green. You know, we'll talk about how bad the weather was. One rainy day, and we're like, well, you can't get all those green beans and tomatoes and onions and corn, daffodils and tulips and azalea bushes without that water. We live in a beautiful world. There's a system, and it all works together. So that's how you contact me. That's how you contact me, Dr. Lisa.
They can always
ask you where I am, because you're going to know where I am for the next few years.
That's right.
We're going to be making change.
You're stuck.
We're going to be doing good stuff, making change happen.
Yes, we are making change happen. It is so wonderful to hear you explain that, because it does really coincide with my new book that's coming out. Now I'll mention it at the end of the end of our time together, but it is about that subject. It is about peace. It is about oneness. It is about the collective well-being. And in education, what we are looking at and what seems to rise to the top, people will call me and say, well, did you hear this thing happen? Did you hear that thing happen? I said, no, I didn't. And I said, well, what can we do? How can we move to a positive energy rather than this hyper cycling on negative energy? We have a lot of toxicity around education right now. I mean, we have school boards being turned upside down. We have kids continually not being taught. And people are thinking that education is moving toward privatization, like we're going to privatize education. I don't know, but I know what you do in particular is a solution to some of our problems.
Absolutely. You know, I think Asa Hilliard said it best. Do we have the will to educate our children? Do we have the will? And I tell, you know, even going in schools, we talk about high will, high skill, and, you know, low will, low skill, low will. We want to quadrant everything and put everybody in these buckets. I will take a person that has will all day long. If you have the will to do something, if you have the will, we do have toxic situations. You know, one of the primal needs and necessities of life is safety. And I always think, if I can't be safe if I can't be me. I can't be safe if I can't be me. And if I've got to go into a school building constantly and put on mask, I got to put a mask on first period. I got to put a different mask on second period because I interact with this teacher differently. There's a third mask for third period. You know, our kids have to take masks in the backpacks if they really want to interact well with adults. And that should not be.
You have to define that a little bit more, because I'm sure there's somebody here that is thinking, they actually take a mask? Why do they have to take a mask?
And I will define that, because I'll go back to what I said earlier. When I wake up in the morning and I've made a brand another day, and I say, how am I going to use this day for glory? How am I going to use this to the best of why I was created and intended to be? I have to even hide my mask and keep my mask in check. Because society will have us changing who we are all the time to meet the needs of others. So I've got to act a different way when I go to this board meeting. I've got to act a different way around that person. I've got to play the game. society has boxed us to where, in order for me, it's just like what I said when the student has to act a certain way to be on a computer. I can have my rights stripped away from me if I talk too loud.
That's right.
Because I'm going to talk loud. Sheila's going to talk loud. Sheila does not need a mic because of her voice, the intonation, the strength that I use when I speak. I'm not a timid speaker. So a lot of times people will take my tone and say, Sheila, maybe if you wouldn't talk so loud. That's a mask I have to put on. That's a mask. Yes. If it's a Sheila, maybe when you get excited, you move your arms around. Some people are uncomfortable when you do that. That's a mask that I've got to put on. That's a mask. When I go as a child into a classroom and I've been told in science that socialization is the way some people learn, but when I turn to talk to the neighbor about an issue and I want to have a conversation, oh, I was really excited about hearing about that content. They do what? The bubbles do what? It oxidizes how? They did what? I want to talk about it. I can't talk about that. Why? Because it's not time for me to talk about it, because you are in control and you tell me when I should be excited, when I should talk,
when
I should think. So I got to put a mask on so that you can be happy enough with me. So the time comes, I can hold my excitement. I can hold my joy. I can hold my inquisitive spirit, because it's not time, because you have not ordained time for me to do that, because you are in control.
That's right.
And that's why we have toxicity in our schools, because we are making some groups of children sick. Sick.
That's right.
Because they can't be them. Sick because they can't express themselves. Sick because when I do that, you're going to label me in such a way that I can't be me. And again, if safety is so important, if safety is a primal need, then why can't I be safe? Because I can't be safe if I can't be me.
That's right. That's right.
I can't be safe if I can't be me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This time for a break. You're listening to Dr. Lisa. You're listening to Love and Light, Living Every Day in Peace. And when we come back, we will continue to talk about shining a light. That means you have to look into the darkness. And education with Sheila Smith Anderson, a 49-year educational professional who centers passion and love for our greatest commodity. We'll be right back, our children.
Are you having difficulty feeling at home in your own home? Join Annette Rigolo and Dr. Pat in Enlightened Environments, Optimizing from the Outside In, as they present a deep dive into the various vibrations of the Earth, along with man-made energies that impact our lives. Using the Diamond Dowsing Method, we will utilize specific vibrations to elevate our own homes to support us and expand us with their energy. Join us every third Wednesday at 10:30 a.m. Pacific Time to make your home, home.
We are courageously expanding love on my new show, The Elizabeth Cunningham Show, every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Join me and my guests where we talk about relationships, sex, love, and the ways we wish we could be but never thought were possible. Visit ElizabethAnnCunningham.com and subscribe.
Champion your life with me, Leanne Champion, first and third Wednesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. That new gym membership might help you get fit, but what about emotional fitness? Jump into the rushing waters of personal growth. Don't waste another minute feeling unfulfilled. Visit championyourlife.com and let's do this together.
Tune in to Knowledge Book Radio with host Marge Potasek, the fourth Tuesday each month at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Through many experiences, Marge was led to the Knowledge Book, a gift to humanity in its transition to the golden age that provides truth and answers. She now shares information from the Knowledge Book with you monthly on TransformationTalkRadio.com on Knowledge Book Radio. For more information, visit usa.theknowledgebook.net.
We are back on Love and Light with me, Dr. Lisa. I have Sheila Smith Anderson, a 49-year educational professional who centered passion and love for our greatest commodity, the nation's children, by leading with courage and conviction toward an equitable system for all. We are in a passionate conversation, really describing what it's like for children who do not fit in the margins. That could be Black children, it could be children of color, it could be children who have different sexual identities, it could be children who are in special education. Any child that doesn't fit into a proposed colonialized way of being has a difficult time in our school systems. I'm not surprised by that because our school systems are built on settler colonialism, which is how the United States was founded. We need you to behave a certain way, so we must control you, and everyone must do the same thing. And here we are, 2 years of pandemic, which has pulled the covers off of how some children are treated. And I believe if you're a parent listening right now, if you thought that your child, when they had to check who they really were when they came inside the school, their bodies are constantly controlled. They are always being told what they're not doing. And for me, one of the worst things is that when people look at them, they look at them with disdain. If they had to do that every day, what would you do? And we have children who are living with that existence. And I gotta tell you, as an educator, it broke my heart when I moved to Portland, Oregon, and I worked at a school that had mostly children of color. I was so elated. I was like, this is gonna be awesome. I had written a program and it was so successful and I was gonna try it out here, and none of those things happened. Because when I got there, the children were being mistreated and it seemed like no one could see, but I could see. And I would look around to see, like, why am I the only one responding this way? The children aren't being taught to read. The children are standing up against the wall. I came one day in from lunch, and the pre-K was standing against the wall. And the teacher said, everybody against the wall, put your hands on your head. And I looked, I thought, what? And no one had an expression on their face. And I went to the principal and went to the teacher, this cannot happen. We do not treat our children this way. And if you don't know anything about me, my work is in racialized healing. Those kind of incidents is what made me sick. It's a constant fighting against it. So here you are shining a light. Tell us, like, if there's people, how can we shine a light into educational practices? I am on board.
Yeah, I think we begin to shine that light, first of all, by coming under a unified understanding of what we're doing inside of school. You know, that's why I said I would rather have a staff of great-willed teachers who love children, all children, and are willing to see their value. Because when you say that no one was seeing this, everybody thought this was all right, it was okay, It comes from years and years and years of being silenced. And so, Dr. Lisa, the truth of the matter, if you had been a different kind of person, you would have been in step with them in no time flat, because it would have been easier for 20 kids to be on a wall with their hands up for 15 minutes of the day during the first 45 minutes of the day. Because if I do that, then I'm really not having to deal with anybody. Because when you go in the classroom, because you've been in the hall for 15 minutes, you got to put your heads down now. You got to put your heads in and you got to be quiet. So time on task for teaching out of a whole day is very little. So you wonder why you get to a state assessment, or no matter what the assessment is, then children can't perform. So I think one thing that has, I know one thing that has to happen is we have to have great principal leadership. You have to have a great superintendent. The organization itself has to deal, has to confront, has to head on talk about what's going on with our students inside of school. We know from science, we know from the brain work, we know that unless a child has had a traumatic brain injury, they can learn.
All right.
They can learn. That's science, that's proven. So you can't tell me, you're defying science when you say that these kids just can't get it. They just can't get it. Well, we shine those kind of lights all the time in saying, quit having the deficit model. We've had the deficit model for as long as I've been living. We've known about the deficit model. We've known what happens when we speak to students in the negative. We know how many positives it takes to out that negative. We know.
10, yes.
10 to 15. You got to say, I came in off the bus, sit down, don't talk, to get in line, to go to breakfast. Don't say anything in the breakfast line. You got out of line, go to the back. I came in before I got in the building. I already had 10 deficits. So that means you got to say 100 good things to me. So who's going to say the 100 good things? Who's going to lift me out of the hole that you dug for me before I even got in the building? So knowledge is power. So when we have this knowledge, when we know this, when we know it, consciously know it, professionally know it, gracefully know it, lovingly know it, when we know it, then we do something about it. And one thing that we should be willing to do is do something about it. And that's what you said you do. I can't say here. I can't stay here and consciously do this, as Lorraine Monroe would say, killing kids. We kill kids all day long. We kill their excitement. We kill their joy.
Spirit.
We kill their spirit.
Their happiness. Their self-esteem. Dreams.
We kill it. And I say sometimes it is conscious, unconscious, or maybe unconscious, conscious. I hope it's not conscious, conscious. I hope we're not consciously aware of doing it in a way, because somebody's got to work at the drive-through at McDonald's. Somebody's got to still do day work. Somebody's got to still do yard work. So it's not going to be my child. So that's why I used to always say, you can tell something about a high school when you have an assembly in the gymnasium. All the kids are there. And when they go to your classes and you stand in the center and you see who goes in what directions, who goes down this hall, who goes down this hall, who goes down this hall, you can almost follow the accelerated and honors class kids. You can probably know what that hallway is about, because we start to divide, because we've been sorting since day one. We started sorting at pre-K. We further sorted when they got to kindergarten. And we really already had them sorted at third grade. We know the pipeline to prison happens there. We have known it, Dr. Lisa. So how do we shine light on it? I believe COVID did this for us. When those covers came off, when everything that happened there in Portland, Minneapolis, in Louisville, when all of that happened, we've got a remnant of folk who are saying, turn the covers back on. Don't put the covers back on there. No. Don't try to make that bed up. No. Pull them all back. There's some more things under there. Hold on. Oh, man, y'all got a little slot under the mattress. There's some more stuff down there. We've got some people right now, and they're young people who are saying, no. That's what we have to listen to. That's who we have to listen to. These kids, these young people, these old people, these people like me going through the streets saying no more. They're not going to stop. And I don't want them to stop. Because if we don't hold people accountable, it is accountable. We've been silenced too long. Why were we silenced? Because our jobs depended on it. Why were we silenced? Because you got a kid, I'm holding something over your head. We have been silenced for generation after generation and generation. So how do we do it? We do it with the people that are willing to take a stand. I don't care how big that group is or how small that group is, but it has to be an unrelenting group who will fight for children, who will fight for the voices. There are people that have the means, that have the capital to fight and to stand up. At some point, our hearts have to bleed. Our hearts have to hurt. Mm-hmm. Our hearts have to see what we are systematically doing to groups of people in this country.
Yes.
And we've been doing it for years. There's a legislation that happened in Kentucky in 1875, just right outside slavery, in a town called Owensboro, Kentucky. These black men put their dollars together and petitioned the state to say, we want better education for our kids. It is heartbreaking to me that this was written in 1875, where they went to the legislature and said, you're building schools and providing education for our kids based off of our tax base of $250. Versus at the time in Owensboro, Kentucky, the white tax base was $7,000. We're just a few years out of slavery. When did we even get a tax base?
Right.
How did we get a tax base? And you thought that that was right? So the schools that we have was based on that. And this is the beautiful, and I know we got to go to break, but the beauty and the sadness at the end of this dissertation that this beautiful man wrote, he said, that, Mr. Legislature, is what we call equity. The late 1800s, we've been talking and fighting for equity. And 2022.
We're still.
The lights are there. The lights are there. We just have to open our eyes and open our hearts to bring change. And I think that we are getting people more and more and more every day. Shows like this, books that we continue to write, how we are taking our identity back. We have to keep on moving forward and not be quiet and not be silenced any longer.
All right. We're going to break. Please come right back and we will continue this exciting conversation.
Tune into Hungry for Answers every first and third Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com with me, Robin Clare. I am a recovery coach, professional, and best-selling author, bringing you eye-opening conversations about addiction and groundbreaking tools for recovery. To learn about me and my offerings, visit Clarity.com. That's Claire, Clare-ity.com.
One day, I arrived early to meet a friend for lunch. One of the wait staff welcomed me with a beautiful smile. It was everyday magic. We experience this kind of thing all the time, but it was magical because the smile made me feel happy and content. The Sanskrit word for smile is smitam. It means fully blossomed, fully bloomed, and expanded, like an empty field suddenly full of spring flowers. In the same way, a bright smile given freely changes everything. It can warm the heart. It can reassure or inspire or uplift. It can bring joy or lift a burden. Try it for yourself. Smitam, a smile, and discover a little everyday magic. Join me, Sarah Main, on Damayanti, the show for your soul, where we discover everyday uplifting magic together. And check out my website, damayanti.store.
Are limitations holding you back from living a powerful and authentic life? Are you able to see yourself and others through a lens of empathy and compassion? Tune into Awaken Your Truth with me, Ritika Rose, to discover how to free your mind, heal your life, and embody your power. Second and fourth Thursdays at 9 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio, YouTube, and across all podcast stations. I'm on a mission to inspire a shift in you, so together we can collectively heal the world. To learn more about me, visit RitikaRose.com.
We're back on Love and Light with me, Dr. Lisa, and I have Sheila Smith Anderson. Woohoo, a firecracker. 49-year educational professional who centers passion, love for our greatest commodity, our nation's children. And we've been talking about how to shed light in education. And one of the things that Sheila talked about in our last segment is actually acknowledging what's happening. And I think that acknowledgement, the work that I do has to do with community well-being. And, you know, Sheila, there's times where I have asked churches, people, you know, I'm not originally from Oregon, so I'm a transplant. I've been here for a while, but still I'm not from here. So I tried to, let me get into the churches and let's start working with our children in community. And I still believe this, and I have a ton of skills around teaching. Let's come together. And I experienced roadblocks. So that didn't occur. Something like that. I feel like we need to take our children back from this system that harms them so much. And we can do that in community, but I don't see that happening.
You know, I totally understand what you're saying. It's odd that you should say that because last week, when the Easter was here, 2 weeks ago, I guess, we had a little play for the kids and they did their little speeches. And I prefaced it by saying, you know, I got my start, you know, in the church, got my start in school. The school was like we were in the middle of the block. School was at the end of the block. The school was the center of everything. It built community. That's where everything happened in the town that I grew up in, a small town, Princeton, Kentucky. And the church was exactly that. You've said your speeches, but I think what has happened, Dr. Lisa, is that we have grown into something different. You know, again, I think there have been systematic ways in which the church has become more commercial and has become, we've got mega churches, you know, you don't even know the people in your churches anymore. We got cells, and I'm not saying there's anything bad about that, but the church, when I see the church, I see the building and I see the pews and I see the speeches that I got up and learned how to do. But I think that competitive edge that we have put in churches now, you know, is how many members we can have, you know, how many TVs that we can put around the walls. And I've never understood TVs in some churches, but because there's a TV behind the person I'm looking at, I could hit him before I could hit the TV. So I never understood that. But that's, again, what society, go back to what I said before, society is causing us to do things. So if we're not willing to put that mirror up and look in the mirror and saying, why do we do what we do? You know, when the church used to be the place in the Black community where that's where the civil rights movement started. You know, it was the church. It was that was the one place that we had that we could call our congregation where we could come together. And I think until we go back and we can do that, there's unity in that. But bringing pastors and ministers together, because we have been so factionalized and siloed in even in religion, we've done that. We've become, we're siloed inside our organizations. That's why we're not running as systems. So we built all these huge grandeur places of silos. And we have forgotten that the unity has to be in our community. So the church does have to go back. We have to go back and get some things. While we've been building huge buildings, while we've been building great membership, numbers of people on the row, but are we saving souls and are we capturing kids? Because I've also said that if we worry about, you know, now we've got this thing about not this book can't be in a school. We're going to throw this book out. We're not going to teach this. We can't teach that. Some states legislating, you can't teach this. You can't teach that. Mm-hmm. But you better teach it in your homes. You better find out who you are. Don't let your child, so to the parents who are listening on this call, to the godparents, to the aunties, to the TTs, to the big mamas, to whatever you're called, don't let your children leave your home without knowing their identity and knowing who they are in this love and this light that we're calling ourselves. Because more than anything, you are royal. You are king. You are a queen. And don't you let anybody treat you any differently. Let anybody, and that's what our churches have to teach our kids, our history, who we are as Black people, particularly, and people of color, who we are, where we've come from. And you have some schools who say kids need to learn grit. We can teach you grit.
That's right.
That's right. I can teach you grit. You don't need to put that in the curriculum. If you do, hire them as the guest speaker for the day. Right?
So we have to
go back, and we've got to go back to some basics that take me back to the place where I used to be. Take me back. Right. We need to go back to that little old church in the Wildwood. We need to go back and capture some of those values, because families did not struggle. Families were families in community. Families who said, if you did something on one street before you got home without a telephone, without a cell phone, without a text, it came through the wire.
He was over here acting a fool.
Mom and Daddy knew about it. And in Harry and Pearl Smith's house, none of that was going down. So I know that we have to go back and we have to recapture, because somewhere along the line, we sold out. We bought the cold ice.
Yeah.
We bought it. And we've got to go back and capture that, because it has killed some factions of our community and making us feel less than we are. We had this great traction going, this great movement going, and then we got stymied.
Yeah, we did.
And the system said, oh, wow, we got to find another way to come at them. And we shouldn't mind.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. We should not. And I love everything that you said. It really resonates me. And what keeps coming up for me is my book, because the book is about connecting to God. And first of all, you have to do that by finding out who you are.
Absolutely.
Who are you? And once you do that, and also pulling away from what you said, like how the world has kind of like controlled who we are. It's like, wait a minute. Are we going to digest all of this negativity and low vibration? Why are we doing that? And our children, why are we feeding our children, babies? Why are they in movies when they haven't even developed? Why are we feeding them the information? Why are we letting them watch what somebody else? Well, I was watching, my son is 11. He was little, we were watching Boss Baby, which is a cartoon. And then while we're watching it, the Black baby starts chasing the white baby and barking like a dog. Stop. I looked at him. He's biracial. I said, why did I stop that? He was little. He said, I don't know. I said, well, what's happening? And it's a teaching moment. And then we didn't watch Boss Baby anymore.
Yeah. But all those images are feeding into our kids. And when we buy into that and we don't understand that's a trick of the enemy, we're buying into all that. It's just a trick.
Yes.
And until we pull that, until we have some parameters, we've got to go back.
Right.
He said, before I knew you, I framed you. We are in a frame. We can't get out of it. But we've got to go back and reframe ourselves within that frame and not accept some things. And you're exactly right. And I know our time is almost at hand, but I was watching a video, and this video was about this wonderful program, summer program with the migrant students and all the stuff they had done for them. So real quickly, when I looked at that, I could not see the glory of it because the teacher was white and the paraprofessional was of that nationality. And every time I looked at a new clip, I never saw the nationality as the leader. I saw him as the help.
Until
we refuse and quit being the help and be the leaders that we are called to be in our own communities, in our own churches, in our own organizations for the betterment of our communities. I don't care what that community is. Quit being the help.
Amen. Quit being the help. Shine the light by quit being the help. Thank you so much. You're listening to Love and Light, Living Every Day in Peace. Remember, treat yourself like your own best friend. You can find me on educationthroughengagement.com, Twitter, Instagram.
Buy the book.
Love of Light, A Guide to Peace and Oneness is at Archway Publishing. Thank you. Join us next time. Thank you, Sheila Smith Anderson.
That's an illuminating
talk. And please be the light. Don't be the darkness. Until next time.
Thanks for listening to Love and Light with me, Dr. Lisa, Everyday Living in Peace. You spent the last hour engaging in challenging and transformational conversations, all for the purpose of living a peaceful, joy-filled existence. Join me next time to continue growing in love and light through healing practices and acts of love. To learn more or work with me, Dr. Lisa, visit educationthroughengagement.com. That's educationthroughengagement.com. Remember, the world changes when we change by coming home to love. Tune in every second and fourth Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern, here on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.